Blog Talk Radio.
Broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. You can't find out why I love, but I see it in you, so we don't walk it out.
Hey, good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. And if you're on the West Coast, it's a great good morning to you. No matter if you're going through stuff or you know somebody who is going through stuff, grief, loss, you've made it to the right place. So get your cocoa or get your coffee or your nice glass of water and fasten your seatbelt. Our shows are being brought to you by Flashback Academy, and you can find out more about that just by writing us, or you can make donations at $Flashback Academy. Love to tell you more about it, but for right now, let's deal with the realities of life, things that really matter a whole lot more, by tuning our brains in and our ears up to Dr. Tamitra Clark. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Brown, and good morning to all of our listeners. Again, glad to be back with you today to continue our discussion, our candid discussion about grief and loss. I want to go back to the lyrics of our opening song, because I know some people may think, well, why does she play that song every time before she comes on? Well, the title of that song is called Rise Up. And sometimes we find ourselves when we're in this place of grief and loss. The emotions are so heavy and the feelings that we feel are so heavy. Sometimes it feels like we just can't get back to that place to pick ourselves up. But if you look at the lyrics of that song, it says you're broken down and tired, and grief has a way of doing that to you, of living life on a merry-go-round. When the hits come back to back, and you hear about this loss today, you hear about another loss tomorrow, you hear about another loss the next day, you feel like you're on a merry-go-round with your emotions. You're going up and down, don't know how to feel, and we end up feeling in that way of being numb, right, that we talked about earlier. It says you can't find a fighter, but the good thing is someone can always see it in you. And so that's what makes it important to have a support system. And we're going to walk it out. So during our time together, as I come to you during each broadcast, my goal and my intention is to help you walk that out. Walk out that pain. Walk out those emotions. Walk out those things that you feel are hiding and are holding you down. Move, helping you to move the mountain so that you can rise up. Rise like the day. Rise up and rise and be unafraid. Now, it might be scary rising up in the beginning, but as you continue to take this walk and continue to take this journey, you can rise unafraid and you can look that loss in the face-to-face and look it dead on in the mirror and be able to embrace it and find who you are in that and create your new way of living a life that is intentional and purposeful. And the lyrics go on to say that I'll do this 1,000 times again. And sometimes every day it might feel like we have to do it 1,000 times a day and tell ourselves, I'm going to rise, I'm going to rise, I'm going to rise. Because as we go through these stages of grief and loss, and we'll get into some another stage today, as we go through these stages, in particular, the state of depression, there are days where we don't want to get up. We tell ourselves, no, I don't want to rise. I know I should, but I don't. And it's okay to have that moment. But again, as we spend our time together, the goal is to get us to a place where you can feel comfortable enough to say, you know what, I will rise up. I will rise, and I'll rise unafraid, and I will rise up, and I'm going to rise high like the waves. In spite of the ache, I'm going to rise up, and I'm going to do it 1,000 times again. And sometimes sitting quiet in that silence, it feels like it's getting hard to breathe, because when things start to overwhelm us and they start to come into our space, in particular, again, there's something about when grief and loss comes into our space that's like no other, invasion of our space that we can even experience. And sometimes we feel like a symbolic type of dying, right? But we promise that we can take the world to its feet. We can move those mountains, and we can rise. And so that's why I use that song, because it just speaks to where we are, and it speaks life into our sometimes lifeless souls and hearts as a result of this experience of grief and loss. Dr. Brown, you have any feedback?
Yeah, let me do the quick disclaimer. This beautiful rendition or song is sang by a lady by the name of Andra Day. And she's powerful. We want to make sure that she gets all the credit for it. And what a gift. We all have unique skills and unique gifts. Some of us have not tapped into those. But there are two people that I've had an opportunity to listen to this morning as we wake up, which is Andra Day and Dr. Tamitra Clark. I'm glad that you played or addressed that song, because I scratched my head. I never asked why, because sometimes when you're a team player, you don't ask why. You just do what you're being asked to do. But that was very, very powerful to better understand. And we all have a melody or a song that sometimes is very uplifting. And as you know, Flashback Academy, I'm going to throw this little plunk. Pong at folks, and it's called Don't Mess with Mr. In Between. If you don't know that song, take the time to look it up after you get through with the show, and you will be surprised at how positive people have tried to be throughout the decades, and that just happens to be one. It's sang by a gentleman by the name of Bing Crosby, who used to be it before Elvis, and then he was subtly and slowly retired once Elvis took over. But that's another story. Let's move on with the rest of our show. Now that we've gotten some clarity, what will we talk about today?
Well, we're going to do the second half of our conversation that we did not finish up with on Thursday. And on Thursday, we were addressing types of losses that we experienced, and we were going to get into the various types of grief. And so today our focus is going to be on those various types of grief. We hit them here and there on Thursday based upon questions that came in from the viewers, but I want to try to spend some time going through some of those. We may not get through them all, but that's okay. And so the first type of grief that we know that we experience is what's considered normal grief. Now, you might ask yourself, normal? What's normal about grief? But it is. It's a normal response to a loss. And so, contrary to what the name might suggest, there are really no set guidelines to define normal grief in terms of timeline or severity of the grief. But instead, when we think of normal grief as a response, right, that resembles what you might predict grief to look like, many people define normal grief as the ability to move towards acceptance of the loss. And with this comes a gradual decrease in the intensity of emotions felt from the loss. It doesn't mean that those emotions won't be there, but they're not so intense to where they start to put us in a place of feeling stuck as if we can't move. And so those who experience normal grief, they're able to continue to function in their basic daily activities. And that's where we want to get to, right? We want to get to a place where we're able to continue to function with intention and purpose in life as a result of that loss. And then we have anticipatory grief. So anticipatory grief is that grief that actually starts when there's someone that we're caring for, say, gets a significant diagnosis in their health, and their health begins to deteriorate. Usually have this type of grief around terminal illness, right, and someone that may have been placed in hospice care, and they've been given a certain amount of time left to be here. And so feelings are related to the loss of what was or what you thought life was going to be. And sometimes it can be difficult to speak with others about this anticipatory grief because the person you care for is still alive. And sometimes we feel a sense of guilt or confusion as to why we're even feeling this way. And so we oftentimes will not have a conversation because we feel bad. We ask ourselves, should I be feeling like this when I know that this is going to be the end? And so sometimes we find ourselves even starting the grieving process when we start that bargaining stage of the stages of grief, where we start saying, you know, just take me, or what can I do to, you know, what can I do to prevent this, or, you know, what more can happen, you know, and we try to do this and we try to do that to keep that from happening. We start praying, we go into our prayer closet, we start fasting, we start, you know, calling our friends and our family and those who we consider our prayer warriors and those who we know can get, you know, can, how we say, can get a word to God or can get a prayer to heaven, and we get them on the bandwagon because with this anticipatory grief that's happening, it brings about a certain anxiety that we have because we feel like we know it's going to come, and it doesn't help us prepare any better because at the end of the day, when that event takes place, it doesn't make the process any easier to deal with. Even when you know it's coming, it doesn't make grief any easier to handle. So
Dr.
Clark, yes.
Excuse me. I got a quick question for you as it relates to anticipatory grief. I'm reminded of a young man, and this, as we know, the grief is not about any specific thing. It could cover a wide gamut. But this young man was anticipating that he would be quitting his job pretty soon, just didn't have a date. So he's anticipating it. However, he walks into his job and says good morning or good day to everyone and prepares to sit down at his desk, and he gets a tap on the shoulder that he's wanted down the hall over in HR. So he's thinking, well, maybe there's some paperwork that he's got to prepare to fill out. And unfortunately, he winds up finding out that he's terminated that day, turn in his keys, sign off, pick up your check, and go away. Anticipatory that he would be prepared to deal with that, and obviously there was a shock. I'm going to shift it over to one other piece, which was you talked about the walk in that song. And I recall very distinctively, and this is personal, I don't like doing that, but I'll share with the audience and hopefully we'll all open up a little bit more today than we normally do. Instead of trying to protect our feelings, use what we've experienced to help someone else. I visited my father. My father didn't think that I was the greatest young man or son, or at least he didn't tell me that. And I had a few opinions about his tough love techniques, read between the lines. Nevertheless, he's in the hospital, and I went to go and visit him, and it was time for him to take a walk, just walk down the hall and walk back. That was a very big deal, I found out a little bit later, because after the walk was over, he called other family members, and he's bragging that his son came and walked him down the hall. Well, the challenge was I was preparing that because things didn't look so good, that he might, you know, be called home to the Lord, let's say. And needless to say, he did. But I wasn't as ready as I thought I was. this anticipatory grief. I thought I was in place. I didn't know what that was, but I knew I could. I just knew to myself, I can handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself looking a certain way or walking a certain way or turning my head a certain way, and it just hit me all of a sudden.
Yep.
I just turned into mush and just really couldn't get a grasp on that. I was actually disappointed in myself. I would kind of look at myself in the mirror and say, what's wrong with you? We weren't that close anyway, you know, going through all the denial things, or just like the guy in the job, he says, I never liked that job anyway, you know, and the reality was it took him a while to be prepared to go and look for the other job that he thought he was getting, because he also dealt with the fact that the job he thought he was getting had decided that they went in a different direction. I think that's the politically correct way of saying it, that they didn't hire him. So I just would like for you to continue addressing this thing called anticipatory loss. And for you folks out there, I see 760 popping up. And if you can text me your question, I'll go ahead and make sure that we get that question on the line. But sorry for taking up a whole lot of your time. It's just that you've really hit a button here today, Dr. Clark.
Well, like I said, even though we anticipate something happening, does not make the blow when it happens any less impactful. I remember when I started a couple weeks ago, I talked about how the impact of grief is relational. So the impact it has on us is directly connected to the relationship that we've had with that person or that thing. And I also said that grief is a matter of the heart and not the head. So what you did is you had it in your head and you intellectualized the experience to say, I got this. I know that it's coming, so I'm going to do my amend and do what I need to do to make it right, to mend that relationship. So when this thing happens, then I can relieve some of the pressures that have been accumulating over the years. But when that thing happens, that child, father, relationship was severed completely. And that umbilical cord, and I know it was dad, but that umbilical cord was forever broken and never on earth to be mended again. And so what can help is something called a letter to my loved one. So we write down all the frustrations, the good, the bad, the ugly, right? So writing a letter, dad, throughout my life, you know, I was angry with you for this. You didn't show up for me here. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. And I'm angry, but I love you because you're my father. And then you read that letter out loud. So now you do what's called the chair technique. You have two chairs. You have one for yourself because you're sitting in that chair. The other chair is facing you, and that's that love object that you're now going to have this conversation with. And we're taking all blinders off. We're taking all judgments off. It doesn't matter how it comes out. It doesn't matter how it's said. And you can either read that letter to that empty chair because that's the loved one at that time, or you can just speak from the heart, and you get those feelings out. And then you do the reverse. So if this was that loved one, how would you want that loved one to respond to you when you are on the opposite side of that? Then that helps to get some of the ickiness that we could be feeling because our relationship was not quite what we needed it to be at that time, and help to start making some sense of these things. Same thing with the young man who was anticipating losing his job but just didn't quite think it was going to happen right then and there. So he had an intellectualized way, a step-by-step way that he thought he was going to be able to handle this as he was going through his A, B, C, D list of things that I need to do to prepare for this. And then it happened. So then now he had to readjust, and now he had to go inside. It could no longer be in his head. He had to now make the connections with his heart to the relationship that he had with this job, and then now he has to start to try to mend those pieces and find a new way to define those relationships so that he can be successful at finding another job and flourishing in that job and being intentional and purposeful about how he continues to live. Does that make sense?
It makes a whole lot of sense. I'm going to throw one other piece here at you. And I guess you can send me the bill a little bit later. But what when we talk about anticipation, anticipatory grief, there's another thought that comes to mind as it relates to I know how I'm going to grieve through this or get through this, whatever the word may be. But I'm going to talk about stereotypes here. Is it true that men and women grieve differently? And before you answer that, I'll give you the stereotype. When we are raised to become young men to boys, we are taught and told that boys don't cry. And we hold on to that. And if we do start nibbling, crying, or boo-hooing, whatever we want to call these negative stereotypes, once the dam bursts and we do start letting out the flow of tears, we feel as though we are a weak person. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So it goes back to what society has tried to do relative to defining how we have our grieving process. So in society by itself and amongst different cultures, yes, our young men are taught to be men. It's not manly to cry, right? So females generally are more expressive about their emotions, period. Men are more introverted when it comes to their emotions, and when they do express them, they have a more physical way of expressing them. They are more angry, and they express even loving emotions. And most oftentimes in grief, you will find more young men express their grief by anger, and they stay more in that anger stage of grief until they're able to resolve it. And so men and boys and our young men need to know that it's okay. The grieving process is for everyone. No one can tell you how to grieve because it's yours and yours alone. And when we don't allow ourselves to do that, that's where we start to have some of the health challenges that we might experience down the line, not realizing and not knowing, dang, well, I never dealt with this back pain, or I never dealt with headaches, or I never dealt with stomach aches, and run these tests, and everything is coming back, you know, okay. But it's because you have that unresolved grief that you have not allowed yourself to experience. And now, remember, I said earlier, the mind can only contain so much, and what the mind cannot contain, the body will begin to manifest. And so when we don't give ourselves that space, we're going to pay for it somewhere down the line. So definitely, as men, as the male gender, allow yourself to experience any of those emotions that you need to experience during grief.
And it doesn't make you less of a man. If anything, it makes you more of a human being to be in touch with your emotions. And sometimes it's okay. I don't think we're here by accident, and the things that we go through are not accident. That, I'm going to reserve that one for another segment of our show. But In the meantime, we're going to get through our last commercial and join Dr. Clark as she prepares to set us up with a closing monologue. Our show is being brought to you by Flashback Academy. We work with abused and neglected children, as well as former foster care youth and veterans. Well, unfortunately, our system does the best that they can with our children. I'll give them that much. But unfortunately, it's not enough because our kids didn't get put here through a cookie cutter. They have all kinds of stuff. And unfortunately, just because a magic number hits of 18 or 19 years old, it's time for them to come out of the system. Well, unfortunately, as we well know today, there are some kids who stick around mom's house for a lot longer than mom would have liked for them to, but they know they're not ready. And one of the most painful things when you talk about grief, maybe we'll hear about this, is when a parent has to kick that kid out into the street and say, done all I could, you got to go for it. You know, grow up, be a man, be a woman, whatever the case might be. But with the former foster care youth, they're not ready. So we have decided that Flashback, through a lot of evidence and research, would be the best way to be able to help prepare them for independent living by providing housing, vocational training, and then real work experience. We'll talk more about that later because we want to go into the closing monologue, and maybe one day, again, our conversation may shift over to you parents who are in the process of grieving when you kick your kid out and say, hey, you got to make it, because that is a scary moment, and especially if they have a few bumps and you're not there to hold their hand or, you know, wipe their tears because, you know, they're struggling. But enough of that for now. Dr. Clark, we appreciate what you've shared with all of us, especially yours truly. But take us home with your closing monologue for today.
In the words of Alan Wolfe, acknowledge your reality brings pain. It is not instinctive to confront the death of someone I love. I do not want it to be so. So as I open myself to feel the total sense of loss, I discover I cannot do this grief work alone. I will need the love and support of those who understand the depths of this journey. Most of all, I will need to be around people who are truly compassionate. Because all we need is hope. And for that, we need each other. And we will rise. We will rise like the day. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this morning. Until next time, give yourself the room to dream.
Wow. Okay. Thank you again for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, and visit our website so that you can find this particular show and others that will be coming up, and you will be glad that you did. Let's end it with our song and walk this journey into the sunrise together, ladies and gentlemen.
Got these feelings.
Well, I've lost that particular show. That song, but if you hang with me, we're going to use that one to take it home because sometimes stuff just happens and we have to rise up beyond it so that we can keep going. So here it is. There it is. Technology. Wow.
Living life on the merry-go-round. You can't find out what I love. But I see it in you, so we don't walk it out. Ooh, no, baby.